The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you are ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. What would you think, what would you really think, if Jesus stood right there at the top of the stairs and said to you, "If your faith was as big as the size of a tiny little grain of mustard seed, you could command that spruce tree," I think it's a spruce tree, "out front of our church to rip itself up by the roots and plant itself in the middle of Moorwood Lake?" Honestly, I think the first thing most of us would think, the first thing I would think, is, wow, my faith must not be even as big as a little tiny grain of mustard seed, because I know for sure that if I went out there and started commanding that tree, nothing would happen. That's what I would think. We'd look at ourselves, we'd look at our own faith, and most of us would be inclined to feel that we just don't measure up, even to the lowest of expectations. The original disciples, the disciples we read about today, lived and walked and worked with Jesus for 3 years. When Jesus touched a leper who was sick, he was instantly healed. When Jesus called a man out of the grave who'd been in there for 4 days, the man came walking out of the grave. When Jesus rebuked a demon that had been tormenting a man for years, the demon came out, leaving the man well and sane and free. And Jesus knew exactly what was going on in the minds of the Pharisees and scribes, who were always standing on the sidelines muttering among themselves about his flagrant disregard for tradition and propriety. The words and the works and the wisdom of Jesus were astonishing. How could any disciple possibly stand in the presence of the Son of God without being utterly humbled and feeling unworthy? It was only natural, natural as in the way that we all think according to our human nature, it was only natural that Jesus' disciples would measure themselves and their abilities against the power of their master's works. "Increase our faith," they asked him in all humility. "Please, we want more of what you have." And Jesus replied to them, "If your faith was only as big as a tiny seed, you would have all the faith you need, even to do the impossible." And then, knowing full well that they didn't understand at all what he was telling them, he told them a story, as he so often did. Jesus starts this story, "Which of you," which was a common formula people use when they're going to say something everybody knows is true. It means, we all know it's like this. "We all know," Jesus told them, "that when a slave comes in from working all day in the fields, his master doesn't invite him to sit down and rest. A human master would never put on an apron and go rustle up some supper for his slave because he was tired. No, we know how it goes. The master says to his slave, 'Go get my supper and stand by till I've had all that I want, and then you can go get something for yourself to eat.' A master doesn't feel the necessity of thanking the slave for doing all this. It's no more than what's expected of him. And at the end of the day, no matter how exhausted you might be, a slave never feels he's done anything worthy of his master's praise or thanks. 'I'm an unworthy slave,' he says to himself. 'I've done nothing beyond what was required of me.' That's how the world works. We all know that. Which of you is not familiar with that weariness of spending all your time and all your energy trying to measure up, trying to be good enough by your own efforts according to the standards imposed on you by the world and by the church, too? Pretty much every human being is familiar with that thankless drudgery of work and paychecks and household chores, dishes and laundry. But it also applies to the efforts we make to prove ourselves by being good people, by our morality, by our generosity, our spirituality. And all of it comes down to that same thing, that never-ending, exhausting, utterly fruitless slavery of trying to achieve worthiness by the measure of our own efforts. There is no end of trying to prove ourselves by our own works. The disciples, when they came to Jesus asking him, increase our faith, they wanted above all things to measure up to that goodness and that holiness and that power that they saw in Jesus. Only they had more faith, they thought, they could do the kinds of amazing things that Jesus did. They could measure up. They could achieve worthiness in his eyes, in their own eyes, and in the eyes of God. But what they needed, essentially, to understand is that faith is never about what we can do. Faith is only and entirely based on what God can do. And God, the God who created mulberry trees and spruce trees, who created mustard seeds and oceans and all mankind, he can do everything. He and he alone is worthy of our faith. Quite a few years ago, I was looking through a catalog that had a lot of pretty little gift items, and one of the gift items in the catalog was this nice shiny stone, I think it was pink, with the word believe carved into it. And the description said it was such a nice gift for your daughter or for your friend because it was so important for everyone to have faith. It's this popular modern idea that having faith, being a person of faith, is good for you. Having faith is considered admirable, a healthy thing. But the reality is that having faith, even big, fervent faith, even sincere faith, is useless. It's foolish, it's dangerous even, unless you have faith in something that's worthy of your faith. And if your faith is in one that is worthy, then no matter how small your faith is, it's enough. There were several times in the Gospels that Jesus called his disciples little faiths. You remember reading that phrase, oh, you of little faith. It's one word in the Greek, you little faiths. He used it as kind of a gentle, almost a kind rebuke when their faith just seemed a little wimpy. But the thing is, Jesus never called his disciples little faiths because they weren't able to do what they ought to do. He called them little faiths when they forgot what he could do. When they were out in a boat with Jesus in the middle of the night one time and a violent storm broke out, they ran to wake him up in a panic. Save us, Lord, we're dying here. And Jesus said to them, why are you so afraid, you little faiths? With a word, he rebuked the winds, calmed the waves. All that they needed was a little faith to remember that Jesus was the Lord of the winds and the sea and the storm and their lives. And there was another night on the sea when Peter actually climbed out of the boat and began to walk on top of the water toward Jesus. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked around him at the crashing waves and heard the roaring of the wind, he sank like a rock. Why did you doubt, little faith? Jesus said to him when he'd taken Peter's hand and hauled him back into the boat. A little faith is all he needed to remember that Jesus was able to keep him safe no matter where he was. And there was another time in a boat. They spent a lot of time in boats, if you notice, reading through the Gospels. There was this other time in a boat when Jesus was trying to teach them, but the disciples were distracted because they'd forgotten to bring bread along with them. They were really worried that Jesus was going to be upset with them. And the ironic thing was that this happened shortly after they had seen Jesus feed thousands of people with a few loaves and a couple of fish. Why on earth are you worrying about this, you little faiths? Jesus asked them. Well, little faith was all they needed to remember that miraculous bread they held in their own hands and the 12 baskets of miraculous leftovers they gathered up themselves. Just a little faith was all they needed to remember that Jesus was always able to provide everything they needed. What the disciples needed, what we need, is not big enough faith. What we need is to put our faith in a big enough God. What are the problems that you face? What do you worry about when you wake up in the middle of the night? Because that's prime time for worrying. What is it that fills you with self-doubt? The thing about relying on ourselves and our own efforts is that so many of those things are really bigger than we are. What power do I have against a diagnosis of cancer, or the inevitable aging of my body and mind, or a tragedy that might take away someone that I love forever? What power do I have in the face of ISIS, or global warming, or homelessness, or racism? What power do I have to protect my children, my grandchildren, who have to make their way in this world that is so full of false promises and crushing demands? The gods that so many people put their faith in are just not big enough for the job. Not self, not money, not political power, not fundamentalist ideologies. We ourselves are hopelessly small and unworthy in a world of huge problems, impossible demands, and our faith is just the tiniest little seed of a thing. But that little faith is all that we need to remember that our God, the God whose worth we're going to proclaim in just a moment with the words of the Nicene Creed, the God who hears every prayer that we speak and forgives every sin, the God who's present with us today in the body and blood of the Eucharist, who's present with us in spirit as we pray, who's physically present in the gathering of his people, living in the hearts of each person in this room. That God, and only that God, is the God who's big enough, the only God who's worthy of our faith. If we and our works, our abilities, our strength are the measure of our faith, we're always going to come up short. But if our little seed of faith is planted in the one true God, we never need to be afraid or ashamed. We know that seeds are very small things. But the other thing we know about seeds is that seeds grow. Our little faith is all we need today. But little faiths grow and bear fruit. And with our faith planted in the God who's big enough, we will be able to move mountains. Amen.